That should be the last of them.
Kate removed a spent clip from her blaster and pocketed the empty to slide in a fresh clip.
Anybody hurt?
A few folks had gotten bitten or scorched from a muzzle flash of a friendly blaster held just a touch too close to unprotected skin. But the damage was minor, and when Jinx came out of the war wag carrying a bag of medicine, he seemed pleased. The healer walked among the crew.
With all that firepower going off, I expected a lot more damage than these scratches. Nothing important here. All right, everybody get inside. I'll want good light to clean those bites.
As the people sloshed back into the vehicle, Kate stayed in the mud, with the hot barrel of her rapid fire resting on a gore-splattered shoulder.
Okay, Roberto, let's get some dry land underfoot. Roll her out, nice and slow. We're still checking for passengers.
The big man nodded and climbed inside. Soon the engine rumbled into life, and the war wag started forward at a stately crawl. Walking alongside the transport, the trader watched the machine and the waters underneath, just to make sure they had cleaned off every last mutie. For a moment, she thought one had escaped detection, but it was only a hollow body, the guts blown out by a large caliber round. Good enough. As the war wag drove onto the dry sand, the woman relaxed and joined the group of soaked people panting in a huddle. A man bowed reverently, clutching a bundle to his chest.
Are you the trader?
Kate looked over the motley group. Nearby, a young woman kept a skinny arm around a small boy, who alternated between looking at the bald man and the bloody woman with the blaster. There was some fear in his young face, but also a trace of defiance. These were Vill people, not runaway slaves. Too bad. She always gave slaves preferential treatment.
Yeah, I'm the trader. Where the hell are you folks from? There's nothing closer than Rock Point that I know about.
That is our Vill, my lady. Or rather, it was. Thank you for saving us.
Kate waved a hand to cut that short.
No, my lady. Just call me trader.
Of course.
Kate then jerked a thumb at the muddy field.
And tell me about this water. Was there an earthquake? Some sort of river washing in from the mountains or what?
No, my... trader. There was an outlander. A man called Ryan Cotter. He and some cold hearts snuck into our Vill and started a riot. Killed everybody they could and stole a bunch of horses.
According to the ancient laws of Texas, that was a hanging offense, Kate thought. Horses were infinitely more valuable than wags. They ate wild grass and reproduced themselves. No wag had ever learned that trick. Roberto was listening to the exchange between Kate and the bald man from the open doorway of the wag.
Ryan Cotter. That name sounds familiar. And you say he's turned into a cold heart?
Yes.
Well, that's a triple damn lie.
Lifting the blaster off her shoulder, Kate watched as a new person shoved his way through the other people. He was heavily muscled, missing a couple of fingers on the left hand, and his left eye was marbled white, with a long scar going from his forehead, across the dead orb, and down to his dimpled chin.
No, it is not!
The first man started to reach under his clothing. Moving with surprising speed, the newcomer punched the first man straight in the face. Teeth went flying, and the bald man staggered from the blow, but came back in a crouch and whipped out a blaster. But it was aimed at Kate, not the one-eyed man.
Look out!
A mother shoved her boy behind her for safety. That was when the sky seemed to shatter as a dozen 50-caliber rounds from the war wags and cargo vans all spoke at once, the combined rounds almost blowing the man to pieces. As he spun wildly, his blaster discharged, the slug smacking into the sand between Kate's boots. The tattered body was shaking as the woman lowered her rapid fire and put a single round into the back of the dying man's head. He twitched once as it hit, then went still, the sands slowly turning red around his ravaged face. Kate cradled the smoking blaster in both hands.
Thanks for the warning, lady. You were fast, I like that. We're short-handed after some business down south. Want to join? We got space.
Really?
Hope brightened the woman's careworn face, but all of a sudden her features went blank again.
No, please, I don't do that anymore.
Kate looked puzzled, but then quickly understood, and her hatred of Gaza increased.
We got no gaudy sluts here. If you ride, then you'll work just like everybody else, but not on your back. You have my word. Is that good enough for you?
Hesitantly, the woman nodded in agreement.
Can you cook?
Some, and bake a little, too.
Even better.
The trader smiled, then whistled sharply and lifted a hand. From the doorway of War Wag 1, Roberto tossed over a holster containing a revolver. Kate made the catch and handed it to the young mother, whose eyes went wider with each passing moment of comprehension.
This is mine?
Everybody goes armed in my convoy. Now get your ass to the kitchen and start on dinner.
The young woman buckled the gun belt around her waist and smiled at Kate.
Oh, my name is Matilda, and this is Avarm.
The boy peeked out from behind his mother, but then hid again.
Welcome to the convoy.
Kate gestured at the war wag with her chin.
Get on board. The kitchen is in the rear. Help yourself to anything you want. The cooks always eat first, or else they eat everything, right?
Matilda almost smiled.
You've done it yourself, I can tell.
Yeah, but not for a long time. Roberto, they're now in your charge. Find them bunks and some shoes for Avarm.
Check.
Roberto led the new recruits into the war wag and out of sight down the central corridor. Noticing the bloodstains on the big rig, Kate pulled out the handcom and hit the switch.
It's me.
Roger, Chief. I'm way ahead of you. Got the ears turned up to max. Any more bugs come our way, you'll know it before they do.
Good man.
She tucked the unit away. Now the rest of the crowd was staring at her with expressions of awe. To most of them, a radio was only a legend.
Can we get some food too, Trader? It's been days since we last ate. Even longer since we had fresh water.
Glancing at the acres of muddy land, Kate frowned at that, and then remembered the water was flowing over salted sand. Even if it started fresh, that stuff wouldn't be fit for a mutie to drink after 10 yards.
Everybody will get a meal.
Kate released the bolt on her Ingram to ease the people's apprehension some.
But nothing is free. I barter for a living.
What do you want?
Information.
She crossed her arms.
That was a good punch. Why did you throw it?
He was a stinking priest.
A priest?
High priest, actually.
Kate gestured for more. The man was eager to talk, his rage almost palpable, radiating like heat from a foundry.
Well, name's Bart. Used to be the bartender at the Ville Tavern. Ryan and some folks came into town. That much the priest said was true. Anyway, Gaza jacked one of Ryan's people as a sacrifice to the scorpion god.
And Ryan got him back.
It wasn't a question. Bart grinned, displaying a gold tooth.
Damn straight he did. That's a bullet in your blaster for sure. Blew the temple to hell and released this river of water. Son of a bitch Gaza had an ocean hidden away while telling folks he was squeezing it out by the drop. Made us obey or die, plain and simple. Used to say that blood made the water flow faster.
Awkwardly, the bartender hid his mutilated hand behind his back.
If you broke his rules, sometimes the payment was flesh.
So was Gaza aced?
Hell no, unfortunately. He escaped in a wag of some kind. Big thing, 8 wheels, loaded with blasters and grins.
8 wheels? Could be a Lav 25.
Any rockets?
Nope. But our sick Chief Hawk stole the Ville 25mm, along with a shitload of shells.
Kate frowned at the choice of words. Shells, not rounds or bullets. Damn, that was real trouble. The armor plating on the war wags was as thick as they could make it without slowing the vehicles and eating excess fuel. They were tough, but not indestructible. A functioning 25mm cannon could tear open the war wags like a rusty tin can.
Now, Gaza has the big wag, but Hawk has the 25, is that it? You're absolutely sure?
You got my word.
The trader had half expected that, and had to accept his oath. If you give your word, that was meaningless unless you also accepted the word of others. At least to a point.
Any chance they would join forces?
No way. Just before leaving, Gaza shot Hawk, and that sort of made Hawk mad.
Roberto motioned from the doorway where he'd been listening.
I'd damn well think so. Okay, food is coming. Line up by the other wag and you'll each get a meal and canteen of water.
And after that?
After that, you leave.
As the hungry people tramped over to get an MRE pack and hot water from a steaming kettle, the trader kept turning this new information over and over in her head. Hawk, Gaza, and Ryan in Core Country. What a shitstorm this was becoming. Roberto walked over to stand alongside the woman.
Imagine Gaza with that 25mm cannon. Shit fire, that would change everything. Maybe we should leave. There's nothing holding us here. No treaties or blood kin at risk.
You really want to go?
Fuck no. I say we take Gaza down once and forever. End it here and now.
Agreed.
Kate smiled, removing the Stetson to brush back her hair, and then replacing the wide-brim hat.
Okay. After they're fed, we'll head out.
Which way? Toward Rock Point?
No. Straight for that nuke cloud.
She grimly watched the sunlight play on the rippling saltwater lake.
If they're anywhere out there, that's where we'll find them.
Well, the only good news about this whole thing is that Gaza and Hawk would never join forces.
Yeah, thank God for that.